Hello, everybody. Dan Delman here, bringing you a little of this, a little of that. Thank you for tuning in today to 101.5 on your FM dial, to the Huntley FM station, where we strive to inform you, entertain you, and if you're not careful, we may even amuse you from time to time. Huh? Well, today, ventilation matters. It matters a great deal more than we had thought. In the context of the pandemic that we have been going through the last 2 years, after extensive studies of how COVID spreads, scientists and policymakers are focusing on indoor air quality. Just what do we know? One of the most powerful tools for limiting the spread of COVID-19 has been right in front of our noses. It's purifying the air we breathe. After extensive studies of outbreaks and super spreader events and aerosol dynamics, epidemiologists who specialize in respiratory disease have warned that maintaining 6 feet of distance from others isn't, and I repeat, isn't sufficient to avoid indoor infection. It took the World Health Organization more than a year to acknowledge that COVID doesn't just travel via large respiratory droplets that fall to the ground quickly, but also spreads in tiny aerosolized particles that can linger in the air like a fine mist, and they stay there for hours. As mask mandates are lifted, this underscores how crucial it is to keep air flowing in crowded indoor places by equipping buildings with ventilation systems that pump virus-laden air outside and with filtration devices that trap viral particles. Think of aerosolized virus as cigarette smoke. If you're smoking in the corner of a classroom and you have low ventilation filtration, that room is going to fill up with smoke. But outdoors, you could be a couple of feet away, depending which way the wind was blowing, and you may not even know that the person is smoking in the room. Well, just how does the coronavirus travel? We have a lot more information now than we had 2 years ago. Every time we exhale, air rushes out of our lungs and through our nose and mouth in a warm cloud of respiratory fluid. Droplets that emerge when we yell or cough can be as wide as a strand of human hair. The millions of aerosols, that is, droplets that are just a few thousandths of a millimeter wide, and these are released with each breath. In a crowded, poorly ventilated room, up to 4% of each inhalation is someone else's breath. The University of Oregon researchers have found there was not much difference between the number of aerosol particles shared between people standing 4 feet versus 11 feet apart. Humidity helps, though. Studies indicate that in dry places, like many offices and restaurants, respiratory droplets travel farther and longer. just where do the infections occur? Mostly indoors. There have been very few reports of outdoor transmission. Even when tens of thousands of people converge for concerts or for sporting events, because there's unlimited ventilation outside. One of the first COVID super spreader events at a March 2020 choir rehearsal in Washington State highlighted the limitations of indoor social distancing. Despite taking steps to spread out singers in the church, 52 out of 61 participants tested positive for COVID within a few weeks. And two choir members died, unfortunately. Scientists point out that the more people there are in an indoor space, the greater the risk one of them is infectious and emitting invisible clouds of virus. That explains why crowded restaurants and gyms and conference rooms with poor circulation have produced many outbreaks. And now we come to the answer to the question, how can ventilation help? It helps bring in fresh air and pumps out air that people have exhaled, thus diluting the concentration of possible coronavirus particles. It also reduces the risk of catching the flu and cold viruses, which also spread through the air. A study of more than 10,000 classrooms in Italy, for example, found that good ventilation systems reduced COVID transmission by 82%. Airplanes are another good example of ventilation in action. I think we've often been worried about traveling in airplanes during this period of pandemic. But sitting in an aircraft cabin with one is one of the safest ways to travel, since half of the air passengers are breathing air from outside the plane. The other half is recirculated through high-efficiency particulate air filters that provide a minimum capture efficiency of 99.97%. And this is better than in most buildings. You can, however, be infected on a plane, obviously, if you're sitting next to someone who has been infected. Well, what steps should we be taking? Just opening windows improves ventilation, especially when they're at opposite ends of a room. Portable filters are effective, and ultraviolet light has also proven to be effective when used to treat air passing through a building's heating, ventilation, and air conditioning system. Experts are also publicizing the folly of using plexiglass dividers to shield people from one another's breath. Studies now show that while these barriers might block a spray of droplets, like sneeze guards at salad bars, they also impede air circulation, and they may well serve to raise the risk of infection. But unfortunately, good ventilation is not commonplace. For decades, engineers have prioritized making buildings more energy efficient, favoring recirculation over ventilation. pumped in outdoor air needs to be cooled or heated. And in a typical commercial building, this system accounts for up to 40% of total energy expended. Well, that percentage rises when thick filters are installed to capture aerosols. Overhauling the heating and ventilation air conditioning systems is obviously very expensive. So there will be resistance. But to put some teeth into this, that is what we know now, there will need to be standards and regulations. And those will probably take years. And now, I'll step away for a minute or two while you enjoy some music. Don't go away. We're back again. I hope you're with me. Several words have dominated the news lately in articles dominating the news about the warfare in Ukraine. The news coverage of the war in Ukraine continues to put in interesting words. If you're a wordsmith and like the origin of words, here are two new words for you. The first is sanctions. And the second is flywheel. The Western countries' response primarily to the invasion has been to apply economic sanctions to Russia. Well, the word sanction is what's variously called an auto-antonym, contronym, or sometimes a Janus word from the two-faced Roman deity, because it carries two nearly opposite meanings. Let's say your employer sanctioned your request to reduce your hours. It could mean either that your boss approved of your attempt to find a better work-life balance, or that you were going to be penalized for it. Today's newsworthy sanctions are the punitive kind. They are economic or military action taken as a coercive measure, usually to enforce a violated law or treaty. The idea of economic sanctions is ancient. Athens applied sanctions to a rival city-state back in 432 BC. But the word first acquired this particular economic and political sense after World War I. Sanctions' opposite meanings make sense if we look at its history. It derives from the Latin verb sanctra, which meant to ordain, to decree, or to render sacred or inviolable. Sanction was first used in a religious context to mean a law or ecclesiastical decree. The word then came to refer to two ways that compliance with such decrees could be enforced. The carrot, rewards for obedience, and the stick, punishments for disobedience. Today's approval sense of sanction is the carrot. The penalized sense is the stick. Since Russia invaded, opinion columnists and journalists have tried to identify the flywheels of the conflict. The core flywheel would be what happens between Ukrainian and Russian troops on the ground. Italian journalist Francesco Buzzoletti wrote that a no-fly zone over Ukraine is inevitable because the March 10 Russian attack on a children's hospital was the flywheel. A Ukrainian news agency argued for the importance of the moment when, quote, the flywheel of Western sanctions started moving at full speed, unquote. Flywheels, you probably know, are large, heavy wheels attached to crankshafts and engines. These smooth out the delivery of power from a motor to a machine. Business guru Jim Collins popularized the flywheel metaphor in 2001 as a way to explain positive feedback loops or virtuous cycles. Momentum is difficult to build. It takes a lot of energy to get the flywheel moving, but once it's turning, the rotation is easy to maintain. So when journalists identify flywheels in Ukraine, they're talking about confluences of forces that flow into one another, making a conflict or solution self-sustaining. So the next time you hear those words, remember you heard it here on May the 10th. I'll be right back. Hi, here we are again. And now we're going to explain about rainbows. If you've been a frequent listener to our program, you'll know I promised a couple of weeks ago that I'd tell you a little bit about rainbows. Well, they are, of course, an optical illusion. They look like pure magic, but rainbows are an optical illusion which is caused when light passes through water droplets that are hanging in the air. The waves of white light are refracted, that is, they change direction as they pass through the water, and then reflected off the back of the droplet and refracted again as they exit the droplet. So we've got refraction, reflection, refraction occurring. This causes the light to bounce off in different directions that appear as several different colors to the human eye. The individual waves of color vary then in wavelength, and that is what produces the differing hues. For example, red has the longest wavelength. It bends at a 42 degree angle, and because of this, red commonly appears on the outer edge of the rainbow. Violet light has the shortest wavelength, and it bends at around 40 degrees, so it usually appears on the inner edge of the rainbow. If you see a double rainbow, that's when a lighter rainbow appears above the first rainbow, caused by a double reflection of light, which also explains why the color order is reversed. While rainbows can appear close or far away, they're not tied to a particular location. Position of the observer in relation to the direction of the light determines the appearance of the location. And now we're on to rain. From the rainbow. Have you ever wondered why raindrops are shaped like tears? Well, actually, raindrops are more like jelly beans than teardrops. They fall, and as they fall, the molecules that bind them together change shape. The bottom flattens, and the droplet takes the outline of a minuscule bean. Let's say you're driving along the highway, and up ahead you see that it's clouding up and darkening, and maybe it's going to rain before you get to your destination, but you notice that some rain is falling from the clouds, but it doesn't reach the ground. Now, we're talking about phantom rain. The phenomenon known as phantom rain happens when raindrops fall, they fail to reach the ground. Instead, they evaporate in midair. They leave a trail or a wisp of cloud behind them. These tails, which point downwards, are known as virga. That's V-I-R-G-A, virga clouds. Then why does rain smell? Rain is nature's champagne. When it falls on dusty or clay surfaces, air bubbles shoot up to the surface. They're very much like a bottle of fizz with the bubbles inside. These release aerosols, which are carried by the wind to our nostrils. The earthy scent, which is known as petrichor, lingers in the atmosphere when it rains after a dry spell. And what is blood rain? Have you ever heard that expression, blood rain? Well, since Homer's book, the Iliad, there have been reports of blood rain falling from the skies. And while the ancient peoples believed that red rain meant the sky was bleeding and a sign that the gods were angry, scientists now agree that this is the work of aerial spores of green microalgae, very tiny algae. And there's something else to consider. Why does everything look brighter after a downpour? Raindrops are not solely made from water. Each droplet contains dissolved nitrogen from the air, which is a natural fertilizer. This explains why grass always looks much greener after a downpour. Other kinds of rain also exist, including those of sulfuric acid or methane, which are commonly found on other planets in the solar system. Scientists have also discovered that raindrops can be made of iron. On a planet that is 5,000 light years away from Earth. And can we make it rain? It's possible to create artificial rain. The process is known as cloud seeding. It involves drenching clouds with external agents like dry ice or silver iodide and salt powder. These produce ice crystals, which are too heavy to remain in the air, so they fall to Earth and melt along the way, and thus produce the raindrops. And so, we're coming to the end of today's show, and next time I'm going to be telling you how rain is made. There are a number of categories of rainfall in that respect, but that can wait until we meet next time. The next time I'll be talking about reducing food waste. As much as a third of the world's food, accounting for up to 10% of global greenhouse emissions, is discarded every year, even as millions of people go hungry. So I want to talk about that. And I want to talk about the travel and hospitality industry, which is seeking to rebound after the pandemic. More about that at another time then. And I'm going to take you to a few places in our travel section. If you've ever heard of the place Zihuatanejo, it's in Mexico on the Pacific coast. And we'll be talking about Zihuatanejo at that time. And you'll want to go there, I'm sure, after I'm finished. Well, my friends, it's time for Willie Nelson and I to go down the road again, looking for more items that will inform you, amuse you, and entertain you. You be safe, stay healthy, be kind to each other. You'd be very surprised at the reaction you get. And so, that looks like the end of the road for me today. And I'll go on another road with Willie. Willie, take us on the road again.